Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, as the new year dawns, I know a lot of people sit down and say, well, I'm going to make this particular positive change in my life. And we've talked in the past about, you know, making goals about reading your Bible and things like that. But what I want to talk about this year, the end of the year, moving on into the new year as the new year begins here just in a couple days, I want to talk about how to draw closer to God in this new year. I think that that is one of those principles that a lot of people could look down and say, I just feel like I need to get closer to God. And then what many people want to do is you want to go out and buy a new daily devotional or something like that. And you think that you just lack the resources. And so you want to be like, what resource can I buy? And I'm here to tell you, there's no resource you need to buy. And in our consumer world, you have been kind of trained to think that you need to spend money to do something as simple and as free as drawing near to God. So I wanted to talk about three basic principles that everybody needs to do to draw closer to God. And as you look back, if I look back over my life of, I don't even know how long now, 25 or so years of following Christ, I think actually this is 25 years, in fact, of following Christ. What I look back and see is there's, and all of us, all Christians, have times where you feel closer to God and you feel like you drift away a little bit. And you look down and you reevaluate. So it's always good to reevaluate really any time you're not feeling close to God. But always these new years, people want to make these new resolutions. So I'm going to give you three resolves for this year to draw close to Christ. Because there really are three things one should do to become a better believer. And your first one is resolve to study the Bible better. And we talk a lot about this on this channel. This is not going to be a full in-depth about the ways and the types and the methods. I just want to leave a couple points. Number one, the Bible is the best interpretation of itself. Number two, daily devotionals often get in our way of devotionally studying the Bible. Okay. And number three, reading books about the Bible or books about topics of the Bible is not the same as reading the Bible. And so while each of those can be good in their different ways, the first thing we should always do, if we have to cut something out of our day, it should be a daily devotional where you've read one verse and then read somebody's pop psychology interpretation of that verse. You should cut that out before you cut out reading the entirety of a chapter or a section or doing something that is a lot more focused on the Bible, not about the Bible. In other words, we want to be solo scriptura ourselves. We want to read the Bible for ourselves, not be solo someone else's scriptura and take our cues from an author or from a devotional or something like that. Dedicate yourself to reading through the Bible, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, at least once this year. Now, if you can move on and get done twice a year or three times a year, way, way better. But if you're just kind of starting into this and you've never read the Bible all the way through, start reading it cover to cover. Now, that might mean you get one of these daily Bibles, and I've done reviews about these on this channel, where it'll have it's broken down nice and easy, 365 readings. You read, you know, a couple chapters of the Old Testament. It'll throw in some Psalms, it'll throw in some Proverbs, and it'll throw in a chapter from the New Testament. You read that, and you've read the Bible cover to cover. The other method is just get any old Bible and open it up and start in Genesis and read all the way through the Revelation. That is harder for some people to get through and to understand, but there is a lot of benefit and value to that. And the third is, and probably the best if you're new to Christianity, you might consider buying a chronological Bible. There's, I think Tyndale, I think, does four or five different translations of the chronological. Let's see if I remember. They have a King James, New King James, NIV, ESV, and NLT. So five. I think they have, you can get a chronological Bible from Tyndale in all five of those translations. And any of them is fine. And I'm not going to get dogmatic over what translation you use here. Just read the Bible. I like that. Now, the Reese, there's some things in the Tyndale chronology I don't like. The Reese does a better job of chronology, in my opinion. The downside is the Reese is only available in King James. So if King James is not your thing, do the Tyndale. It's fine enough. So that's resolve number one is Bible study. Resolve number two is prayer. Drawing close to God in prayer is important. The Bible study gives us the mind of God. It is the academic knowledge about what God would have us to do. Prayer, though, gets us the heart of God. This is really the emotion, the effect, the way God would want us to live our life. This is prayer. And prayer is a spiritual discipline. It is difficult to do right, I will say. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that a lot of people take this vending machine approach to God in prayer, and the prayer for them is just all about, well, I just got to get in here and say these verses and say these words tell them what I need. And then, and I know in some of your more older traditional churches, you know, the prayer time before the service becomes praying for Brother Bob's liver spots and Sister Sally's travel mercies. And that is not entirely bad. The Bible does say to bring our needs and cares before God. But the problem is that it's very worldly thinking to be like, I'm just going to ask God to give me what I want. Because sometimes maybe Brother Bob learns a lot about relying on God through his travel mercies. And maybe Sister Sally can learn a lot about faithfulness. And maybe Sister Sally has a hard time asking for help. And when she blows her tire on the way because her travel mercy prayer wasn't heard, maybe she can finally learn a little bit that we need help from people to change tire. Not saying Sister Sally can't change a tire, but prayer is far deeper than just asking for these simple things. It is really about getting to know the heart of God. It is aligning yourself with what God would have you do. Prayer isn't as much about changing God's desires, what he wants to give you. It's about changing your heart to conform into the word of God. And I love that verse in Psalms. And I always get the reference wrong, but the verse says, the verse in there says that delight yourself in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. So you get these desires of your heart when you delight yourself in the Lord. That is the important principle there is prayer. And it is long, it is dynamic, and there's so much that can be said about it. Entire books have been written on it. In fact, a friend of mine has a good book on Amazon after, he's like one of the best prayer people I know. It's called Ask, Seek, Knock by Craig Plantz. You can have a look at that book. That's from a friend of mine. That is an excellent book on prayer, really going into all of the different viewpoints and these things like this. Now, the third resolve that you need to do, and this is, I think, another one that I haven't talked about as much. I've done a little bit, but this is critically important. Serve. This is like, in Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, that last step is, have you helped others in their journey to be addiction free? And that is really that last principle. It is one thing if we know all of the academic stuff about the Bible, okay, that's great, but that doesn't help if you're not passing it on or if you're not living it out. If you can have all of the prayer in the world, and that is absolutely incredible and amazing, and God does some amazing things, but at some point in time, people need to stand up and do the work of the kingdom of God. And that is what service is about. Whether that is a help inside of your church, so your church might have a need for Sunday school teachers, or simply setting up and taking down chairs, depending on your type of church, or vacuuming or cleaning the bathrooms, preparing coffee. There's a number of things that most churches need to be done to have a successful church service. It might be something as simple as helping with those. It could be a more public ministry, helping with Sunday schools, helping with Awanas or youth groups or adult Bible studies, maybe helping with small groups. Maybe it's just being in a small group and encouraging your small group as a group to decide on service projects and doing those. Now, that's all service inside the church. There is a boatload of service outside the church, and I've always been a strong advocate of this. I've done Big Brothers, Big Sisters for years. I know some people in church are like, you shouldn't do that. Gays in there. Well, you know what? If enough Christians stood up to mentor these children, they wouldn't have to accept the gays in there to help the children. So go out and volunteer for Big Brothers, Big Sisters if working with kids is your thing. Because guess what? You might be the only Christian those kids have ever seen. You might be it. And if you're taking your time out and you're putting money into it. And, you know, I remember one kid I had, and he literally thought I was just some paid community person who was paid to spend time with him. And he was like, ugh. And then he finally looks at me and says, how much are you paying for this? I said, dude, it cost me money to spend time with you. Like, all the time we go to the convenience store and get candy bars and snacks and stuff. Yeah, that's out of my pocket. I don't get paid nothing to be with you. I'm here because I want to be. It changed the dynamic of the relationship. The kid looked down and was like, really? And then he kind of figured out that that was true. And I am to this day the only example of a good Christian he knows. He's had a lot of weird Christian psychopaths in his past family, and they have all drawn, like, pushed people in his, you know, brothers and sisters away from God. And it is that call of service. Now, we even had a person that I had asked our church to run a program for the kids in our town once. And we had one guy goes to the church, says, don't let them in there. That's bad and all this. And they're like, fortunately, the elder board looked at it and said, no, I think we'll go ahead and let him run a program and we'll pay for it, you know. And we had more, a better adult to child ratio. We brought the kids in. We had 2-3 hours of good fun games. Then we had a lunch, mostly of chicken tenders and french fries. Kids loved it. And they said it was the best program that was ever done because we as a church stood up and did that. Now, that is church and community, but that started with me being in the community working. So you might have Christian camps you can go volunteer and help at. You might have just other societal programs. It could be a soup kitchen that may or may not be tied to a church. It could just be helping with any form of community advocacy. You could check a local United Way and see what they have. And yeah, they're secular and they're going to give you some restrictions about what you can and can't do connecting to faith. But the principle is you draw close enough to people and they ask you questions, you're allowed to answer their questions. And it is a great way of we're not just pushing the gospel, we are serving people. And that is really that principle. So those are three resolves. Resolve to read your Bible, resolve to learn better prayer, and resolve to get involved in serving God in your community, either inside your church or outside of your church. You do those three things consistently this year, you will come to the end of 2026 and you will feel so close to God, and you will know you are so close to God. So I want to leave you with those thoughts today. Thank you for watching. Have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.